question that you sometimes might not want to ask, but you might need to ask. And it's this question: what's it for? Or, to put it another way, what does it do? Hands up if you've sometimes had to ask that question when you've not wanted to ask that question. Have you ever, for example, had a present and you've opened it and everybody's getting excited and you open it and you say, wow, it's just what I've always wanted. What is it? And you see the person who's given it to you start to feel a little bit sad and dejected. Well, isn't it obvious what it is? Well, sometimes it isn't, is it? Fortunately, in the English language, there are lots of things that tell us what something is for. So let's see if you're still as awake as you were a moment ago in the notices. What's this called? A bottle opener. And what does it do? Opens bottles. Well done. Okay, so what's this called? A can opener. And what's it for? Opened cans. Fantastic. And what's this? A lawn mower, because it mows lawns. You're getting really good at this. What about this? Scissors, because it cuts paper. Why isn't it called a paper cutter? It would be much easier if it was, wouldn't it? Well, it's interesting, because actually, if you look back, scissors, the word scissors comes from a Latin word, means cutting instrument. So even words that sometimes don't sound as if they do what it says, actually do. There are other things that sometimes it's helpful just to look on the tin and find out what it is. This is chocolate spread because you spread chocolate on your toast. But sometimes it's not as easy, is it? When you read what's on the outside, you sometimes think, what on earth does that do? So one of my favourites is this. Sillet bang because it... Sillets bang. What on earth does that mean? I don't even know whether that comes from the Latin or the Greek. Fortunately, some manufacturers are quite helpful, aren't they? They're quite helpful in telling us what something is for. Do you remember these ads on the telly a few years ago? Oops. Oops. Oh, sorry there, we had a problem. Bonseal. It does exactly what it says on the tin. Really helpful, isn't it? By the way, we're not sponsored by Bonseal, I should just say. But wood filler, because it fills wood. As I say, sometimes things aren't that obvious. A few weeks ago, I was helping my mum and dad to move house. They're moving to a little flat. In fact, they're moving from a flat to a smaller flat, where it's easier to cope. And they turned out lots and lots of things. And my dad said to me, would you like this? You can't see it, can you, at the back? But here's a picture of it. Would you like this? He said it was his mum's, my grandma's, and it was made in 1910. So it's over 100 years old. And I, of course, said, what on earth is it? And what does it do? Now, is there anybody here, and you don't have to be 110 to be able to answer this, is there anybody here who knows what this is? Yes, Roger, what is it? It's a hole punch. No, it isn't. Sheila, do you know what it is? You're going to say a hole punch? It's not a franking machine. Karen, what do you think it is? A what? Rivets? No. A stapler. What's your name, sir? Neil, go to the top of the class. This is amazing. It is an old stapler that doesn't need staples. Let me show you. It is now going to be a family heirloom in our house. If I push down on some paper and pull it up, the paper is stapled together. And do you want to see how clever it is? up close. What it does is it does make a hole, and then it takes the paper round and shoves it back through another hole, like that. Isn't that amazing? Can we have an ooh and an ah? So that is very firmly stapled together. Well, it is until you pull it apart. But a stapler without any staples. Wow! They were so clever in those days before computers. What on earth, you're probably asking, has this got to do with the Bible? Isn't he supposed to be talking about the Bible? Well, I think it's got quite a lot to do with the Bible. This morning, both our morning and our evening service, we're starting a series looking at the book of Luke. Luke is one of the Gospels, one of the first four books of the New Testament. And it tells the story of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you may have heard of them. It tells us all about Jesus. And sometimes when I talk about the Bible, sometimes when people find out I'm a vicar, they say, that book, the Bible, hundreds of years old, thousands of years old, what's it for and what does it do? And Luke, a bit like Ron Seal, wood filler, is really helpful because right at the beginning of his gospel, he tells us what he's doing. And he says this, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. He's talking about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Lots of people have tried to tell us the story, he says, of Jesus. Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So they've had a story passed down from someone who was a follower of Jesus when he was around, and they've passed it down to us, and we've got those stories, and we're passing them on to each other, says Luke, by word of mouth. But then he says, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Hands up if your name's Theophilus. No, not many of you. It just means lover of God. So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And what Luke is saying is so that you can know how reliable your faith is, how reliable the faith that we baptize these three little ones into, I've decided to investigate everything, those things that have been passed down by word of mouth and things that have been written down, and put it into a book so you will know that your faith is based on secure historical knowledge. Wow, I think that's really exciting. Luke isn't the only one to do that. He also, John, does something quite similar. In John chapter 20, another of the Gospels, John says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So Luke, like the other Gospel readers, is saying, we want you to know the truth that your faith is based upon. Yes, faith is a choice. Yes, faith is about love. But it's also based on God who has done something in Jesus that changed the whole world. We're writing these down, say Luke and John, so that you may believe. And as John puts it, that by believing in Jesus, you may know life in all its fullness. You see, the Bible, the Gospels, aren't just there as an end in themselves. They're a means to the end. And Jesus in John's Gospel says this to people who studied the Scriptures but never went further. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life, which means life in all its fullness forever. These are the Scriptures, says Jesus, that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. What a tragedy. Some people read the Bible just as a historical text, but never find a living relationship with Jesus through it. the gospel, the word gospel means good news. And it does just what it says on the tin. It is good news. One last image. I like to think of the gospels in particular as being a bit like a doorway. The thing about a doorway is that it's not there just there to look pretty, although sometimes it does. It's there to enable you to get into the house. And the gospels are there to enable us to get into a relationship with Jesus Christ, which lies at the heart of the Christian faith. That's a great start when we think about Luke. We think about what we're about to study in the weeks to come. That we can have life in all its fullness. We can have a security of knowledge that our faith is based on something that happened in history that makes a difference even today. In a moment, we're going to sing again, but I would like to set you some homework if you're up for it. Oh no, you think, homework? We thought coming to church meant we didn't have any homework. But this is the homework I'd love to set for you, the challenge I'd like to set for you. And this is for grown-ups and perhaps for children as well. If you've never read the Gospel of Luke, I have ordered 100 of them this week and I've got them at the back of church. And I would love to give you the Gospel of Luke as a little gift as you go away, if you promise to at least try and read it in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And you can read it on the tube, you can read it on the train. If you feel embarrassed, you can put another book in front of it. You can even read it on the loo. But I'd encourage you to take this away, to read it all the way through, and to say to God, if there's something in this, will you use it as a doorway for me to find something new and something fresh? And something loving. It's all right, Dylan, you can run up and down now to your heart's content because I've come to the end.